I heard that there's believers here at this advance that this is their very first fellowship. Which is pretty amazing. Welcome to those of you. We're not just treading through life here as just citizens of this world. We are not. We are citizens of heaven right now. What I'm going to share on is citizens of heaven walk with authority. Being a citizen of heaven comes with great benefits and extraordinary power. So I have a public service announcement. Hearer's discretion is advised. Believing this subject may leave you stupefied, gobsmacked, thunderstruck, its jaw dropping. You may experience overwhelming astonishment, so leave if you must. Being a citizen of heaven, we should walk out with authority and the dominion we have, bringing God's word to pass and his will to pass here on earth. Go to John 10:10. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, John 10:10. This verse right here is just amazing. The contrast in this verse is just infinitely apart from the goals of these ideas here. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Aren't those wonderful goals for somebody? I mean, good gravy. What does it mean to kiss one's grits? We're in the South. I need to know. Somebody tell me after. Because somebody, this thief, he could kiss mine, if you know what I'm saying. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it how? More than abundantly. Not just abundantly, but more than abundantly. And part of this more abundant life is that we're citizens of heaven and we walk with authority when?
Now.
Right now. This is ours for the taking. It's ours for the utilizing in our life. And we could really miss the boat with this. We could really miss it. We should not settle for anything less in our lives. Not anymore. Sorry. We shouldn't play the victim in this life. Oh, woe is me. Look at all this. And have excuses for living below what God has called us or how God has called us to live. And we're not going to let anyone or anything talk us out of this more than abundant life. Nobody. No. Romans 10:9. You got to go to Romans 10:9 and 10. My goodness. This is why God sent his son. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. It says here, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, who?
The Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is how we got born again. This is how we got our citizenship. This is the ticket, baby, right here. To become a citizen of heaven, we did not have to fill out an application. We did not have to demonstrate good moral character or pass a civics test. Those are all things you have to be to become a citizen of the United States. We just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And the Lord, that word Lord, it means master and ruler. He's the principal, not us. Not us. So if you want to follow the Lord, then you need to believe what he said and not what you think. And that's pretty humbling. He's who? The Lord. Okay? It's pretty amazing to think about that. How do we live in our minds? You know, everybody lives their own lives in their minds, right? As my daughter likes to say, people live their own lives. But do we live in our own life that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and we believe the things that he said? and the things that God has said, because he said the things God told him to say. So it's much easier to believe that we get raised from the dead because we know that he was raised from the dead. Isn't that awesome? God didn't ask us to believe something that's like going to be that something that never happened before. God raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, and we believe that, and that's how we were saved. And so what do we expect? To be raised from the dead as well, should the Lord tarry. It's so great. So we should change some stuff in our lives and our thinking for the better, because Jesus Christ is our Lord. And we get to live God's dream here on earth as believers. You know, you people, you believers, are God's dream. Us. And we get to be alive in this day and time. We're the people that are the ones that talk to him in our prayers. We're the ones that he blesses us and speaks to us so nicely in fellowships with the manifestations of Holy Spirit. We're the ones that he does things for, us who are alive today in this day and age. We're on the cutting edge with God and alive right now, which is really cool. John 3. You need to see yourself as God sees you, not as the world sees you. So many times we look at ourselves in light of what so-and-so thinks or what people are going to judge you about. But we need to see ourselves in light of how God sees us and expand the boundaries of our believing. Do we believe so much? I'm using my fingers as a scale. Do we believe this much? Do we believe this much? Do we believe this much? Oh, okay. John 3, in verse 6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is what?
Flesh.
That which is born of the spirit is what?
Spirit.
Two births, baby. Physical birth. We were born citizens of this world. Spiritual birth. We were born again, citizens of heaven. And we only get born again once. This notion that you lose spirit, then you have to get reborn again. So and then you lose it again and you get reborn again, and then again and again and again. It's only once. We were born again one time, just like our physical birth. Romans 13. Romans 13, and in verse 11. It says here, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Awake out of sleep. This word sleep here is hypnos or hoopnos. It is not a euphemism for death. And like Steve read from the literal translations from Dr. Werewolf, according to usage, the literal translation according to usage, I have it here for this verse. And this blew me away. It was so awesome. And right now, you must be fully aware of the immediacy of the moment. There be no delay. You must awake at once out of your spiritual lethargy, your hypnotic soul slumber, to live with the renewed mind, love without hypocrisy. For at this moment, right now, is our wholeness with the return of Christ, the imminent event we are looking for. Isn't that wild? Wake up! I did that at fellowship one time. It scared the bejesus out of somebody. But it came right back in. That's my method. Like, you know, if somebody's falling asleep at fellowship, I say, wake up! And they're... But man, this makes me want to cry, you know, because people that are deceived do not know that they are what? Deceived. People who are hypnotized are not in control. Christians walking like they're just body and soul by the five senses is not where it's at. Need to wake up. It's so great. It's in the Word. It's not me saying it. It's in the Word. A wonderful believer gave me a gift of a quote in a frame, and I have it in my office at work. And it says, and it's by Dr. Victor Paul Werwell. It says, unless the new birth is cared for, unless it's nurtured, and unless the mind is renewed, unless it's fed upon the Word of God, and the Word is put into practice, the believer will drift back into the normalcy of society or the community environment which he or she lives. You want to be normal? You want to blend? You want to just disappear into the masses? You can. Or you can wake up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 2, this is really interesting. So we need to care for the new birth, you know? It's great. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul couldn't get past the crucifixion with these folks. That was it. He couldn't go beyond that in teaching. Let that not be us with the knowledge of the resurrection of Christ, that's it. Oh, we're born again, we got our foot into heaven, and we're good, we're done. That's someone in my family who got in the Word with me, who they were so happy to know they were just going to heaven, never went back to fellowship. God bless them. That was not me. Okay? Think about that. Paul could only go so far with them. Right? How far are we going to go in the Word? Are you going to stop at the crucifixion or not? No, you don't. You're already beyond that. Stop at the resurrection and that's it. What about all that means and all that comes with? There's a lot there. I mean, it's loaded. We get to live this life as citizens of heaven right now, knowing our rights and privileges and the authority that we have as sons of God, operating the manifestations of Holy Spirit. We want to live the all truth of the mystery that's been revealed, not just go so far. Romans 12, verse 2. I love this verse. So great. It gives me license to act out sometimes. Romans 12, 2, and be not conformed to this world. There it is. Letting the world shape you, letting the world mold you, letting the world control who you are. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We don't have to blend. We don't have to disappear into the masses. We should stand out like a red dot on a green carpet. You know, a chameleon changes colors to so that little lizard thing with the buggy eyes. That thing changes colors so that it doesn't get eaten by something bigger than him. Well, let that not be us. We don't have to have that fear. We could stand out in this world and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Philippians 1:27. Philippians 1:27. Some of these verses we've read before, but you know what? So what? We need to hear the Word over and over and over again. How many times did I have to teach my kids about the birds and the bees? They forgot the first time I told them all about it. They forgot everything because they were only like three. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And Steve just shared that, which is awesome. This word conversation means to be a citizen. And the words only let your citizenship. It means only let your conversation be. It's only exercise your citizenship. Only behave as a citizen. Don't be Mr. Jekyll and Hyde, or however you say that. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Well, today I'm going to be a citizen of the world. And tomorrow I'm going to be a citizen of heaven. It says only. That means alone. That's it. That's who you are. That's what God called you to be. That's what he made you to be. A citizen of heaven. So only exercise your citizenship, or only behave as a citizen. A citizen is a person belonging to a particular country or state with by birth or naturalization, and has legal rights recognized by that state. And being a citizen of a country entitles you to all those rights and privileges. Like right now, you know, we're doing that as citizens here. We're exercising freedom of speech, or at least I am at the moment. I could say whatever I want right now. But guess what? I've learned to filter. Thankfully. My wife is really good at helping me. We're exercising freedom of religion. We're exercising freedom of assembly. Aren't you thankful for those things?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you know about them?
Yes.
You should be. Philippians 3:20. Right here in the neighborhood. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Conversation here means the seat of government of which we are citizens. And we're citizens of what does it say? Citizens, our conversation's in heaven. We're citizens of heaven right now. And that's the reality of our life right now. And it's so awesome. What a great topic of an advance. We're registered in heaven. What is our vote going to be? Yeah. We can continue to just act like a citizen of this world, like a natural man, or we could be the men and women God has called us to be. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners. Man, when I was a kid, I kind of felt like that. And then I got in the Word, and it was so great. I knew I belonged because of the Word. It says, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. That's having the same citizenship with others. We're all citizens together. Ephesians 1:4. These verses are so nice. They're close to each other. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The word holy means to sanctify. And sanctified means to be set apart. Set apart for what? We're set apart from the world for heaven. Isn't that awesome? You're holy. Holy smokes. So we need to walk like we're from God's country now. Citizens of heaven. Holy. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, I have to just read you a little bit from this book, the Blue Book. Look at the stack of books over here. This could have been there. The Blue Book by Dr. Victor Paul Werwolf. And what he says about this verse, it says the word delivered is more emphatically translated rescued. God in Christ rescued us. Notice that this is a verb in the past tense, rescued, right? Therefore, God no longer needs to rescue us. He has already done so. The word from the Greek is ek, meaning out of or out from, as of a circle. What did he rescue us out of or out among? The power of darkness. This world, which is darkness, is under the dominion of the devil. Is that which God rescued us out from among. He rescued us out of this world, even while we're still dwelling here. That God could do this is one of the greatest miracles. The word power in the verse is from the power of darkness. And the Greek word for this is exousia, from which the English derive the word exercise. He has delivered us from the exercise power of darkness, the exercising influence of the kingdom of darkness. The word translated us into the kingdom of his dear son in Sanskrit is citizenship. He rescued us out from among the exercise power of darkness and gave us citizenship. This is a tremendous truth. This kingdom cannot be the kingdom of his dear son, for his son has no kingdom of his own. The kingdom is the kingdom of God. The word of should be by. So if you have it in your Bible, you can scratch out what it says and write by. It is the genitive origin. God rescued us out of the exercise power of the kingdom of darkness, the rulership of Satan, and gave us citizenship in heaven, his kingdom, by what his son Christ did for us upon earth. Already we have citizenship in kingdom, citizenship in God's kingdom. He has already made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as told in Ephesians 2:6. Legally speaking, in Christ, we were crucified with his crucifixion. When Christ died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him in the baptism of his burial. When he arose, we arose with him. When he ascended, we ascended with him. When Christ conquered, we conquered with him. When he was seated, we were seated with him. When he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, we were given the power to live victoriously, even in the realm of Satan, having the ability to manifest the power of God in the more abundant life. What a revelation to the soul of man. What a glory, what a joy, what peace, what bliss. We are rescued now. Bam. Ephesians 4:1. Walk with authority. This is about the walk. This is the practical section of Ephesians, of how we go about living this great doctrine that we know. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The vocation is calling, that we're worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. We were called. You've been called, and you answer that call. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Man, I remember Esme really blessed us. A bunch of 10 people from New Jersey went to visit the believers in Florida, and she did a laser burn with that about unity, and that blessed me so much. I have that in my house. It's just awesome. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling. So we're supposed to walk in love, putting forth great effort to keep the unity. This takes walking with authority. Think about it. Walking by the Spirit. It does not mean putting on a show. It doesn't mean being mean or know-it-all. It's being humble. Lowliness. It's being loving. It's being meek to God. Meek to God. And strong in the Lord. The meeker we are, the more we'll be able to walk with God and hear him. And he'll be able to work with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Walk with authority. Look at this. In light of these verses right here, it's incredible. 2 Corinthians 5:18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." In these couple of verses, reconciled is used 5 times. It's so great. "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We are sent once into the world as citizens of heaven, as ambassadors representing Christ here on earth." What a privilege. What if God called you up and told you that? He does in his word. It's the same thing. Revelation here in the word to us. We're ambassadors now, sent into the world. And we exhort the word, prayerfully requesting on Christ's behalf that they be put back together with God, that they be reconciled. God wants all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. And part of our exercising our citizenship and only behaving as a citizen is to get people the word of God. We have the right. We've been given the go-ahead. The doors have been opened. We don't need to pray for an open door to speak God's word. Unless God closes it, it's open. We help people get put back together with God. And we speak God's word with authority. Not like little scaredy cats. And Jesus Christ was our greatest example of a believer who walked. And now we represent him in this world, as we heard of. So we should follow his example. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. We need to cause some waves in this world. We need to rock the boat a little bit. Did Jesus Christ just get along to get along with everybody? Did everyone just accept everything he said? No way. Well, we're not just trying to be nice people to everybody. Sometimes the word offends people. Are you okay with that? You should be. That's their problem, not ours. Their loss, not ours. Sorry, our citizenship is in heaven. We don't have to be concerned about the reaction. We don't have to be worried about what they might think about us. I could care less, honestly. Philippians 2. We speak God's word with authority and love, and it is just awesome. That's part of being a citizen of heaven. We're sent ambassadors in this world. It's so beautiful. What a privilege. Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's God's heart, that every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord. That's why he sent him. And we get to speak this word with authority. John 14, 12. We've had it a few times, but hey, look at it again. Believing this word of God. is just awesome. Do not let it bounce off your brain and heart. Let it in. It's the truth. It's the word. You've already confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and believed that God raised him from the dead. So you should be able to believe everything else God says, that because that is wild. You believe that, don't you?
Yes.
Well, you should believe everything else he says too then. John 14, 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and you have believed on him. The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. This verse is almost unbelievable if it wasn't said by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's who? The Lord. He said it. What are we supposed to do now? Believe it. That's right. Respect. Ultimate respect. Every knee shall bow, right? He's our Lord. He said it. Believe it. So great. Jesus Christ operated manifestations. He's our ultimate example of this. And we can exercise our citizenship here on earth, similar to how he did as a son of God, being this perfect person. We're perfect spiritually, you know? We're not perfect physically. Our first birth of this world, don't try to find perfection in there. You won't find it. But spiritually, you will, because it's God in Christ in us. 1 Corinthians 12, we talk about these manifestations. Here they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 7, this is where God's word talks about these wonderful manifestations that we can operate. It says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And I heard that some of the kids spoke in tongues for the first time tonight, which is awesome. But all these work at that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We can operate these manifestations now. We've been given the same Spirit Jesus Christ had, Holy Spirit, and we have Christ in us. It's the same thing. We didn't get shortchanged. We didn't get undercut. It's the same thing. Luke 4, Jesus Christ walked with tremendous authority, and I know Aaron read this record, but it's just so good. I'm just going to go over it quick, okay? Luke 4, 31. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them in the synagogue, or in the Sabbath, them on the Sabbath day. Verse 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. He must not have taught like a little old wimp. He taught the word with power. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, what kind of voice do you want? How did he sound? Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus patted him on the head and said, my child, come with me. No. He rebuked him, saying, shut the front door and get out of him. Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil's spirit had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all what?
Amazed.
and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." This word authority is exercised power, the ability or strength in which one is endued, which he exercises. How awesome is that? We have been given the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Jesus Christ in us. We have Christ in us, him. It's this one. It's not a different one. It's this one. It's him in us right now. Matthew 8, it was mentioned that Jesus Christ did this. We'll read it real quick. Matthew 8. Verse 23. And he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he said unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" This very same Lord is in us. Jesus Christ walked with God and manifested his power, and we do too. Remember the record where the woman was healed by touching his garment? Did you ever even imagine that someone would be healed by touching your clothes or by your shadow going by or by your hanky? Ephesians 1. It's absolutely available by the individuals believing and by the operation of the manifestations of Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1. In verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead." What kind of power must that have been? The kind of power to raise a man from the dead, never to die again, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. That power set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That word power there in verse 19, to usward who believe, is dunamis. It's dynamite. It's potential power, like a room loaded with dynamite. That kind of power is what was wrought when Christ was raised from the dead. In this verse 21, the word dominion is lordship. We have Christ in us. We're seated in the heavenlies, in heavenly places, in Christ right now. And we are above the dominion of the adversary, the dominion that he has right now. The adversary has no lordship over us. He does not. He's not our Lord. We don't bow to him. Ever. Didn't the adversary himself try to get Jesus Christ to bow? Don't you ever bow to him. He's not our Lord. Gee whiz. Jesus Christ was and is. And he's in us. And we have dominion now, like Jesus Christ did when he's able to do amazing things like he did. It's just so awesome. When the angel came and talked to Mary and said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible," that's how we should think. That's why I love believing the word, because nothing's impossible with God. It doesn't matter what the situation is. We have God and we have the manifestations. We get to command storms like Jesus Christ did. We get to command spirits like Jesus Christ did. He did all those wonderful things that JM talked about in his awesome teaching on Jesus Christ and how he did incredible miracles. He did all those things. And he even died 100% believing he would what? Get up. We believe the same thing that we're going to get up to. Ephesians 6. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's the manifestations of Holy Spirit. You put that on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, we stand strong in the Lord. We're citizens of heaven. We are so able to walk with authority in this life. It's awesome. Ephesians 3:20. This verse makes life super exciting for me. What a vision for life to live like this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This ask is to pray or to call or to desire, and think is our exercised mind, what we comprehend. He's able to do exceeding abundantly and above all that we could even imagine or dream of. Isn't that liberating? It's so freeing because we don't have to think it up. We just know that he can. And that's so empowering and freeing. It's this power that we have, that we have the ability to exercise. What is the last part of that verse? According to the power that worketh in you and me. Why did he do this? I don't know, but he did. And he's God. So get over it. These manifestations are freaking awesome. And man, not Jesus Christ was not the only one to do these things in the Word. You can have a great time looking at the apostles and Peter and how he did all so many great things, and Philip and Stephen and Paul, and how Paul, he did awesome stuff, man. And he was responsible for the death of believers. Would you forgive him? It's awesome stuff. This Paul, he knew his citizenship. And go to Acts 22. I want to show you this. 22, 24. Wake up. Good. Thank you. Look at this, Paul. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that they should examine him by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? And when the centurion heard it, verse 26, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man's a Roman. And the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, yes. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum I obtained this freedom. And Paul said, but I was born free. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after they knew that he was a Roman, because he had bound him. Paul knew about his earthly citizenship. He invoked his legal right and protections under the Roman law. His Roman citizenship, it granted him the right to avoid scourging without a fair trial and a right to appeal to Caesar. We utilize our citizenship, our legal rights as citizens of heaven now. And the adversary should not be allowed to mess with us or his people. We fight for God's people, not with God's people. Knowing the deal, we invoke our legal rights as citizens of heaven. We have God's wisdom. We have God's righteousness. We have his sanctification and redemption. All of the rights and privileges that we have our legal rights, that we have as citizens of heaven. Romans 8:1 talks about not condemning ourselves. That is our legal right, to not condemn ourselves, because Christ paid for it all. As sons of God and citizens of heaven, we have the legal right to not condemn ourselves because we believe we're righteous. You got a problem with that? Well, you should tell yourself to shut up if you do. Because, man, that is great. We'll close in Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 37. Paul also walked as a citizen of heaven. And man, he walked with authority. He was the one to receive this incredible revelation and had it written down. God wanted his word written down so that we would have it forever and that we wouldn't forget. And he had Romans 8, 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. According to God's word, we are super conquerors through him that loved us. You see, we've been touched by the hand of God. And that changes everything. God gave us this life to live it more than abundantly. John 10:10, baby. We're born again sons of God with power, with all power. We're seated in the heavenlies. We're citizens of heaven. We have the power to walk like Christ. We're his ambassadors. We have all nine manifestations. We have dominion back. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. So let's believe like never before and make God marvel. Shock him with your believing. Because we live now as citizens of heaven and we walk with authority. Thank you.